You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's beautiful Northwest Side here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Time is exactly 9 o'clock on this beautiful fall Monday morning. And co-host Graziano Marcheschi, the director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz.
Hey, good to be here with you, Greg.
How was your weekend?
You don't want to know. I'll tell you real quick. I had a retreat scheduled. Worked till 4 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, because it was going to start Friday night. So I thought, I'll sleep in. I've never been so ready for a retreat. Get a call at 10 o'clock. The ceiling in the room where the retreat was supposed to happen fell in. It was a gorgeous room. Couldn't do that. An hour later, get another phone call. The priest who's supposed to give the retreat...
He fell in.
No. He's quarantined because he's got the flu.
You're kidding me.
Yes.
Where was the retreat supposed to be held?
And then a phone call after that, my daughter's in the emergency room with anaphylactic shock. So it was a great weekend.
This was all on Friday?
Yes.
Wow. So the retreat, I presume, was canceled.
No, I did it.
Outside?
We moved into a different room. I decided to give the retreat. God is good, you know?
That is. And the priest never arrived
because
he is quarantined.
Quarantined.
So the retreat was held. Was this for lay ministry?
It was a feast of St. Francis this weekend. He's my good buddy. He was looking out for me. Couldn't have gone better.
Our engineers said, Brian, that I could have stepped in and helped out.
Brian could have come in. Why didn't I think of that? It's a tale of God's goodness and mercy.
Did you catch any of the Bears game yesterday?
I did not. I was too exhausted.
Okay, now.
But I know they won.
They won 48-24. That's our sports report here on Monday morning on Catholic Community Faith. We better get to the program here. Our phone number. I'll certainly keep your weekend in prayer, Graz. Wow.
It couldn't have been better.
Mine was busy, but no roofs caved in. Thank God. 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. And coming up in less than 2 weeks, we have World Mission Sunday, also called the Propagation of the Faith Sunday, which takes place the weekend of October 17th and 18th in all the parishes, not only in the Archdiocese, but throughout the entire United States, when a collection is held in parishes to support world missions. And with us in studio, Sister Madge Karecki, a sister of the St. Joseph of the Third Order of St. Francis and the director of our Catholic Missions Office here in the Archdiocese. And with us in studio, Maureen Colon, Associate Director of the Catholic Missions Office and coordinator of the Holy Childhood Association known as HCA. And with us by phone from Texas, Father Michael Montoya, Director of the U.S. Catholic Mission Association. Father Montoya is a native Filipino priest whose office is in Washington, D.C., but who also will be with us by phone from Houston, Texas, where he's doing an appeal for U.S. Mission Association. Good morning to the guest and welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, Father. It's good to be here.
Graz, I'm tired after those introductions. Whoa! Let's go to a break.
We got some high-powered people in this room.
We certainly do. Well, Sister Madge, give us maybe a brief history of World Mission Sunday, or as a boy, I always remember called the Propagation of the Faith Sunday.
This started in 1926. This is the 83rd celebration, the 83rd year that we're celebrating World Mission Sunday. And this is not something just belonging to us in the United States, but it is World Mission Sunday.
So this is actually a collection worldwide.
That's right.
And thing is, it began in 1926.
Correct.
And, you know, it's even as a boy, you always heard of the Propagation of the Faith Sunday. Yeah. And then now the thing is, with this whole collection, we'll get maybe to it a little bit later in the program, but as the money is collected, where does it go and how is it used? And Maureen, what is your involvement with this whole Propagation of the Faith or World Mission Sunday? You're smiling.
Well, the Holy Childhood Association is one of the Pontifical Mission Societies, and it's based on children helping children across the world. It's been in existence for 165 years, and it offers education, prayer, and financial support to children in developing countries in 120 countries, over 1,100 dioceses.
You know, Greg mentioned that it used to be called Propagation of the Faith. Is there a difference in calling it World Mission Sunday as opposed to Propagation of the Faith? I know since Vatican II, a lot of theology changed, understanding of, you know, whether you can be saved if you're in or out of the church has changed. And it seemed that a lot of the steam, you know, a lot of the air was taken out of that balloon about the urgency, the importance of spreading the faith. Sister Madge, I know you've taught missiology. How do we understand missiology in light of the teaching of Vatican II that you don't necessarily have to be Catholic, even have to be Christian in order to be saved? Where does the urgency come from to propagate the faith, to share what we have with others who don't?
The urgency comes from our baptism, that we share in the mission of God in the world. And missiologists today speak about the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And that's really the motivation. And it's true that proclamation is indeed a very important aspect of mission, but it also has to do with witness and our giving witness to our faith in the context of our own life situation.
And along those lines, Father Michael Montoya from Houston, Texas, a native Filipino priest, you are the director of the U.S. Catholic Mission Association. So again, connecting with this whole sense of mission, your role and involvement.
The involvement of the U.S. Catholic Mission Association. We are the network of all the U.S. Catholic missionaries serving all over the world. So it's the U.S. Catholics that are serving in many different parts, not only here in the United States, but in the remote parts of, say, Guatemala, Papua New Guinea, Africa. And they are the ones giving the face of mission, basically, to us here in the United States through the stories that they bring to the people here.
Now, maybe I can maybe ask a question of this of Father Montoya. You are a native from the Philippines.
Yes.
And I remember when I was a boy and thinking about priesthood and being a missionary, you know, across the world. But it's interesting, like in the last 5, 10, 15 years, certainly at least here in the Archdiocese of Chicago and other places I know as well, it seems like the United States has become mission territory where we are ordaining men born in Poland, born in the Philippines, born in Africa, born in Mexico. So there seems to be a real switch going on in the last 10, 15 years where the U.S. is becoming a mission territory. You want to say something about that?
Yes. In 1990, actually, I was sent as a missionary to the United States. Of course, the mentality during that time was mission is supposed to be in third world countries or in the poorer sectors of the world. And so going to a first world country was almost like a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have come to realize that mission is not determined by geographical boundaries, that mission is everywhere, that the challenge of us participating in God's mission can be here in the United States, can be in the Philippines, can be in Africa, can be in Indonesia. That geography is not the reason why we go to mission.
It's interesting, like in 1990, you came here as a missionary. When I was ordained to the priesthood in 1979 for the Archdiocese of Chicago as a diocesan priest, 31 men in my class, all 31 born in the U.S., 29 were born in Chicago. I think the class ordained 1, 2, or 3 years ago at Mundelein Seminary in Fine Men, but I think it was all but one. Only one was born in the U.S. The other 8 or 9 or 10 were born in other parts of the world, now serving in Chicago. So just an interesting sidelight comment.
Well, Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all men and women. So we're talking about Mission Sunday within the Archdiocese, and we're going to continue our conversation right after this short break. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Families will be in the forefront at this fall's Catholic Festival of Faith with several activities designed to help parents and children celebrate their Catholic faith together. The festival is scheduled for Friday and Saturday, October 16th and 17th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Get more information and register at www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, AM 950. It's 9:12 in the morning on this first Monday in October. The Supreme Court has a docket of important cases coming up, so let's keep them in our prayers. They all went to the Red Mass this morning, and there's six Catholics out of nine on the Supreme Court. It's
That's kind of an
amazing thing. So at least they began in prayer, and let's continue to support
them. I think our ceiling is coming down.
No, don't say that.
I think I would have talked to Jim Dish and Diane Dunn.
I think we're going to need to quarantine you, though. That's I see germs coming towards me. We're talking about missions, and particularly Mission Sunday that's coming up in 2 weeks within the Archdiocese. Sister Madge, I quoted the end of, I think, Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus says, "Go forth and make disciples of all people." Help me to understand the focus of missiology, where you talked earlier about the focus being on witness. Is there a difference between making people disciples and us being disciples? Is that a different thrust in missiology now, that it's more about us being disciples and giving the witness of Christ, or are we still trying to call people to Christ who don't know him?
Both and is the answer. In the missionary document from Vatican II, we learn that the whole church is missionary by its very nature, and proclamation or making disciples is indeed part of that mission. And what we're concerned about is the difference between the focus. The focus was on missions, somebody else going to make disciples. But now we're seeing that the focus is on mission, our vocation by reason of our baptism. And in John Paul II's encyclical on mission, he states there that mission ad gentes, mission to the nations, is still the model that we need to follow. So it's both and.
Great.
And maybe, Maureen, for a second, make a connection between World Mission Sunday and the Festival of Faith, which comes up that particular weekend. Talk about this special hall that is happening in Rosemont.
Okay. Festival of Faith, we were asked to create a mission experience for people that were coming to the festival and try to make it intergenerational, a little bit interactive. So what we have done is we've taken a 22,500-foot hall and created a mission experience. People will come into what mission was in the past and still is today in terms of sending people out on mission, and then they will literally go through a maze of sections which will give them the continent of Africa, the continent of Asia, and the continent of South America. In each of those sections, they will be spoken to by missionaries that are actually either have been in the field or are studying to be missionaries from the Maranol, Columban, and Combonis are also helping us out here. And once they leave those sections, then they will come back into a what we call our Chicago room, which brings us to the idea that we started as someone else was missionary, or I was a missionary, or you were a missionary. Then they moved to I am a missionary visiting all these places.
So an entire convention and floor then, is being dedicated to...
Oh, it is.
Which means this sounds like...
No wonder you look tired.
An incredible undertaking, 22,500 feet. I've been in the convention center. Mm-hmm. Well, there's been different shows that go on, and it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Father Montoya, I was thinking about this during the break. You arrived here in 1990 as a missionary from the Philippines. Where were you sent to serve?
I was sent to serve the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, along the borders of Texas and Mexico.
What was the biggest adjustment you had to make coming from your native homeland of the Philippines all of a sudden down to Texas? What was the biggest adjustment you had to make personally as a young priest?
For me, it was really the image that I have of the United States, because from outside the United States, the image that came to us was U.S. is either California, Hollywood, or New York and Washington, D.C.
Or Chicago football.
Well, that.
Yes, thank you. I knew you were thinking about that. I knew you were thinking about that all the way.
No, and then coming to the border, as you know, the main language there is not even English. I had 7 masses during a weekend, and only one is in English, and the rest are in Spanish.
Wow.
So it was a change of an image of what United States is. But the people were very good, and they were very welcoming, and I think that is what helped me adjust better to the situation in the United States.
Father Montoya, I noticed that you're the founder of a religious order, the Missionaries of Jesus.
I am a co-founder.
A co-founder.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
There are 41 of us missionaries from all over the world that decided in 2002 to found a new religious community called Missionaries of Jesus. And I keep saying that the Missionaries of Jesus is probably the only religious community founded with the aid of the internet. Because we were all over the world, as I said, and we had this Yahoo group, a reflection group, and then one of our priests was the first one to call, maybe God is calling us to a new way of living our life as missionaries. And it started from there, and then we all decided, yes, God really is calling us to this new form of life. And so
So the 41 of you had been in communication through this Yahoo chat
group. Yes, through the internet.
Now, you don't have your own seminary where you ordain young men into your new community, do you?
Come again?
Do you have a seminary that will now ordain men? Where's the seminary located?
It's located in the Philippines right now, and we have actually 12 candidates.
That is all from the Philippines?
All from the Philippines, and there is one that might be coming in from Guatemala, actually. We are now working in 4 different countries, Philippines, Papua New Guinea, Guatemala.
So what is the charism that distinguishes your new religious order?
What we say as our charism is mission, actually. And by that we mean whenever we go to a particular place, whatever the need is, that is how we will respond.
That is marvelous. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is coming up on 9:20 on this beautiful, beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. Our number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Gratzina Markeski. We're talking about World Mission Sunday. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page. Your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests. In the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
It's Monday morning in Chicago, 9:22 a.m. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. And on this crisp autumn day, we are talking about the responsibility of all Christians to spread the gospel. And we are fortunate here within the Archdiocese to have an office specifically dedicated to that purpose. We're talking to the director and co-director of those offices, Sister Madge Karecki and Maureen Colin. Tell us, what is the specific focus of the Archdiocesan office? I'm sure most of our listeners are thinking your main goal is to get money to send overseas to the missions. What else do you do?
It's true that that's part of our stated purpose because of the work of the Pontifical Mission Societies. But the other stated focus is to do mission animation and education in the Archdiocese. And that has not received attention. And that's,
say more about that, Madge.
In the sense that we take it for granted that people understand what mission is and what our mission is by reason of baptism. So my experience is that they don't think of that. They think in terms of missions, in the plural. Somebody else is doing it overseas, and we're just collecting money, and we're listening to mission appeals. And
so how do we do mission in our own Archdiocese of Chicago and not out there someplace?
By living our baptismal commitment and giving witness to Christ in our own lives. And that depends on our context, whoever and wherever we are.
Maureen?
I think another way we do that is by instilling mission in children very early on. That's one of my big roles here, is to educate teachers and children in terms of that sense of mission. One of the things we have done recently is put up a new website, which has not only information about the missions office, but it is also, the Holy Childhood pages are dedicated directly to mission objectives that are in the religion curriculum for teachers to teach children.
What is that website?
The website is, it's http://. No www, just missions.archchicago.org.
Okay.
And teachers can find very practical means of using the objectives to teach mission to children.
And you're a former award-winning principal, so you know what you're talking about.
I've been an educator for about 30 years, so yes.
So I think what you're telling us is that in some dimension, each of us is called to be a missionary.
Absolutely.
And to live that out.
Yes.
Well, what about, okay, so you've got this program specifically for children that targets them. What about the rest of us?
Well, that's what we're working on now. I've assembled a new committee called the Mission Concerns Committee, and we're doing this kind of
brainstorming.
Yes, I couldn't think of it.
How about sports for 100?
Anyway, and so we want to then develop some programs that we can make available in parishes or at the Meyer Pastoral Center or wherever people are interested, we're willing to go with
it. I'd like to ask this question first of Father Montoya, then Maureen, and then Sister Madge. Michael, in the work that you do, what do you find to be the most frustrating, not the most rewarding, but the most frustrating aspect of the missionary work that you do?
Well, I think it will have to be that really people do not have any idea what mission is.
Okay, all right.
Part of what USMA does is also in education and promoting mission and global solidarity. There seems to be some kind of a myopic view of what mission is. And also, okay, we give the money, which is very important, but then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what we do also is we gather all the U.S. Catholic missionaries serving all over the world. It's not frustrating, but challenge for me is how we can make the stories of the missionaries really come to life and really be heard by people. Because for me, I think once they hear the stories of the missionaries themselves, those that are in the field, I think it will ignite something in the hearts of the people in the pews.
Maureen, you wanted to respond to that same question. I guess so. You kind of smiled.
Yeah. I think the most challenging part for me is getting schools and religious education programs to realize that HCA is not passé. It's been around for a long time, and it used to be the pagan babies. But it is very much alive, and it is very much about educating children today. So it would be great to be able to really get people to understand that and to go ahead with it.
And that sounds like the best of the church, not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but to take a tradition that we have and make it relevant in the contemporary world. And that sounds exactly like what you're doing.
Sister Madge, before we have about a minute and a half, give us a phone number, or Maureen, give us a phone number if people want to learn more about how to give, to learn more about missions. Phone number, Maureen?
Our number is 312-534-3322.
And number once again?
312-534-3322.
And your website?
http://missions.archchicago.org.
Well, I want to thank in a very special way Sister Madge Karecki, a sister of the St. Joseph of the Third Order of St. Francis, and the director of our Catholic Missions Office here in Archdiocese of Chicago. Also Maureen Colin, Associate Director of the Catholic Mission Office and Coordinator of the Holy Childhood Association. And Father Michael Montoya, a Director of the U.S. Catholic Mission Association. And want to thank all three of you. You know, keep up the great work you're doing. We're all in this together. And Madge, you said something important. By our baptism, we are called to serve not only here, but the all ends of the earth. Real quick, give that little quote, Sister Madge.
The Pope says that we need to pray for an increase in the church's passion for her mission to spread the kingdom of God.
That's a great note to end on for this first half of the program.
Belated happy feast day to you.
Thank
and your
you.
That's right.
Yes.
Belated happy feast
Saint
day.
St. Francis.
And we are here at 312-255-8408 on Catholic Community Faith, Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:29. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Time is 9:32 on this gorgeous Monday morning, fallish day in Chicago. Brian, it's nice to have you back at the spot over there. You know, you took a quick break on us.
Now we're going to have to pay him. His voice was on the air.
now he's on-air personality,
yes,
I guess.
Right.
We have in studio two wonderful people, and this is going to be a last half hour. The first half hour was terrific, and the second half hour will be the same. We're with us in studio, Sister Rosemary Connolly, who is celebrating her 40th year as Executive Director of Misericordia in Chicago. And Sister Connolly, Rosemary Connolly, is celebrating her 60th year with the Sisters of Mercy. Also with us in studio is her assistant, Lois Gates. To Sister Rosemary Connolly and Lois, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. I have never had the opportunity of meeting Lois, but Sister Rosemary, we go back many years, and it's amazing, your 40th year celebration coming up as the Director of Misericordia. For maybe a few of our listeners who don't know, but I know that 99% would know, let our listeners know, how long has Misericordia been in existence, and give us the background.
Surely. Misericordia was founded in 1921 by the Sisters of Mercy on the south side of Chicago, 2916 West 47th Street. The sisters began with poor mothers, unwed mothers, and the children that were born in the 50s to these mothers. In the 50s, we changed to serve children who were mentally disabled. These children were at that time when I came to Misericordia in 1969, we had 132 children who were all developmentally disabled, and some were medically challenged too. There, of that 132 population of children, we had 69 babies with Down syndrome. It was a time when parents were told, place those children, get on with your life. They're never going to amount to anything anyway. Today, I'm happy to say that we have no children with Down syndrome. They all stay at home where they belong, an integrated member of the family. When we came, it really was custodial care. And when we looked at the children, we knew they needed more. So we began programs, and we were amazed at how the children, especially the children with Down syndrome, responded to these programs. Then we realized that the children, those in particular, did not belong in a skilled nursing home. It was a nursing home at this time. So it happened in God's providence that they were closing Angel Guardian Orphanage at the time. Through the generosity of the Archdiocese of Chicago, especially Catholic Charities under Monsignor Thomas Holbrook, the Archdiocese designated that we could use 8 acres of the land, which consisted of 31 acres. So we began Misericordia, the Heart of Mercy Center, at Devon and Ridge in 1976.
One quick question historically, when it was built in 1921, in the earliest years, was it more of an orphanage in the 20s and 30s and 40s until the shift came in the 1950s?
No, it wasn't an orphanage, Father. It really was services for unwed mothers.
Okay.
And then their children until, if they didn't take their children home, until they were placed.
So I'd like all of our listeners to realize that they're listening to the voice of a legend here.
That's really true.
It's very true, Gratz.
There's no joking about that. Sister Rosemary is a legend in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Sister Rosemary has done significant work, and everybody knows it. People like Mike Ditka show up regularly to support the work you do because the work you do has made such a difference in the life of this local church, in the life of this city, in the lives of so many parents and families, that it can't be overstated. It really can't be.
Yeah.
Could I say here, though, I think the greatest gift that God has given to me is surrounding myself with the best people that you can find, competent, loving, compassionate people like Lois Gates, who has walked this journey with me for 38 years.
So, Lois, you have been with Sister Rosemary for 38 out of her 40 years at Misericordia.
Yes, I have.
Then how did you get involved? Was it something that you just walked into the office, or did you happen to know Sister Rosemary going back to 1971?
No, I joined Misericordia as a volunteer. It was a strange path. I wanted to become a stewardess back in the 70s, in the early 70s. And I met Sister Rosemary Conley, and the rest is history. I just never left. I fell in love with her. I fell in love with the work she did and how many wonderful lives that she has changed over the
years. So it started out as wanting to walk in and volunteer.
Right.
38 years later,
right.
You are her top assistant.
Well,
working directly with her.
I'm part of the team, Father.
Part of the
Greg,
team. And
yes.
I think, let me ask, before we go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith, Sister Rosemary, when you walked into Misericordia in 1969, Were you sent from your community and say you will go to Misericordia? Was it something that you had, asked to go there? How did that happen?
In those days, we were appointed, and the Sisters of Mercy really went out in blind faith, I think, to appoint me to be administrator because I had no experience in administration. I had no experience in working with children with special needs, and I had no experience raising money.
What had been your previous assignment before 69?
I was a psychiatric social worker, and before that, a teacher in grade school and high school.
Now, the thing is, the Sisters of Mercy have always had a special place in my heart. I'm a graduate of Mary Seat of Wisdom Grammar School in Park Ridge, taught by the Sisters of Mercy when I graduated in 67. So whenever I see Sisters of Mercy, I loved those sisters. And they played a profound role in my journey to the priesthood. They'd always talk about priesthood along with the priest at Mary Seat of Wisdom. And so I had to say that. I know you were never at Mary Seat of Wisdom.
No, but many of my friends were.
Oh, sure, I can name some. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith on, in fact, Graziano, I don't want to bring up my former sisters. They might remember me in terms of being a kind of trouble in the classroom.
You're a priest forever.
We already got two calls.
They can't take that away from you.
We're going to go to break here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you want to make a real difference in saving lives? Then join us for the Chicago Area 40 Days for Life prayer campaign. Chicago is one of 216 cities participating in this 40-day, 24-hour-a-day peaceful vigil outside abortion clinics nationwide. Last year, more than 20 babies and women were saved from abortion here in Chicago. Get involved. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355. Or go to our website at 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. That's 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. Get involved in saving lives through the power of prayer today.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz. Our call-in number is 312-255-8408, and we are the Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese. We said before, we're talking to a legend and her number one assistant, Sister Rosemary Conley, who for 40 years has shepherded the great work being done at Misericordia Home, and Lois Gates, who for 38 years has been her personal assistant. And Father Greg and I were saying, if Sister Rosemary's been a Sister of Mercy for 60 years, she must
joined when she was
joined
seven.
At five. And
looks
if
terrific.
Lois has been her assistant for 38
she
years.
She started when she was five.
Right out of kindergarten.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We were talking during the break. You mentioned earlier that you don't have children with Downs anymore because the proper place for them is their family. I have a family member with a little girl with Downs, and she's a joy in their life, and she fits right in with the family, and I can truly, truly understand that. I think part of the sad reality is that the vast majority of children with Downs get aborted and never even come into the world. But I know that it's very difficult to get into Misericordia because you have so many people with need. And I think at one point you mentioned that the whole reason Misericordia exists is to meet unmet needs. Tell us a little bit about the needs that you are helping to meet, the kinds of people that you serve who would have no place else to go if you weren't there.
You know, I think we are unique in our service insofar that we have a full continuum of care. We moved Misericordia South up to our campus 3 years ago, and there we have 100 skilled children and adults who need skilled nursing home. And then we have 7 houses out in the neighborhood, and those are higher functioning people who go out to work if there isn't work available for them and the outside employments, then we have them come to the campus. So we have a full range from the skilled nursing care to those that go out that live out in the neighborhoods and everything in between. We have non-ambulatory children and adults. Some are very responsive, some aren't. We have ambulatory children and adults. Some are responsive, others are more limited. But we have the full continuum of care, and that makes us unique in regard to any agency that serves people with disabilities.
Sister Rosemary, what is it about Misericordia? I know when you have people collecting funds on street corners, out of all the asking in the Archdiocese of Chicago, when it comes to Misericordia, people truly open up their wallets and their hearts. What is it about Misericordia? I have been on campus many, many times. You have a phenomenal staff from Lois and everybody else. The care these individuals receive, it is one of the most loving, welcoming places I've ever walked into. But what is it about Misericordia that really touches the hearts of people at their deepest level?
Well, thank you, Father. I do believe we have a Misericordia family. It consists of the residents, the children and adults who live at Misericordia, the most competent staff and loving staff that you could find. We have families that really are grateful for having Misericordia in their lives. We have many people who are looking to make a difference, and when they come to Misericordia, the best tool we have is a tour to walk the campus, to see what's happening at Misericordia, to see children and adults who are challenged but very, very happy and feel good about their lives. So I think there's a good phenomena out there today that people want to make a difference. They want the world to be more loving and compassionate, and when they see it happening, they're willing to help make it happen and get involved.
You know, I truly see the face of God in the residents of Misericordia. You look at the people at Misericordia, and it's a reflection of the face of God. They're without guile. You know, what you see is what you get, and they are gifted in ways that we're not. And maybe you can help me on this. The residents of Misericordia can truly teach all of us about life's real meaning and purpose.
Oh, I believe that very much. You know, they're human. They're not perfect. The higher functioning ones can be very challenging, too. But they really live life on God's terms. They accept life for what it is, and they have no expectations of life except what they have. So they're happy people. They live in an environment that respects them, loves them, and challenges them, and life is worthwhile.
You know, Sister Rosemary mentioned earlier that she was appointed to this job in the days when people were assigned. Of course, I think that says a lot about the role of the Holy Spirit and the value of assigning and, you know, obedience to one's superiors. You know, sometimes it just works right. But Lois, you went there as a volunteer, not expecting to stay there, obviously, for 38 years. You've stayed. Tell us about what you've learned during those 38 years, what you've learned about this lady here, Sister Rosemary, but more importantly, what you've learned about the work that she's given her life to and that you've given your life to. What have you learned from the people who live there at Misericordia and from this whole experience of ministering to this particular population of God's children?
Well, Graziano, I truly believe that what kept me at Misericordia all these years is the uniqueness of our facility. We are a faith-based community, and it's a community of goodness. And as Sister said, who doesn't want to be a part of that? I think in my role as director of fundraising along with the development team, we really need to get the word out. And once the word is out, it's contagious. People really come to Misericordia and fall in love with it. And I think that's what happened to me in my young years or in my early years. And that just developed walking the journey with Sister Rosemary. Every single day, she inspires me. Even when we don't agree, she inspires me.
Well, yeah, I mean, family can have disagreements. That's what's part of being part of a family.
That doesn't happen often, but it shows the realism of Misericordia. As Sister said, we're not perfect. We're not angels, or our residents are not angels, but neither are we. We all have gifts to give. It's when we stop and learn from our residents
that
makes a difference.
Well, you and the staff have done a fantastic job of getting the word out about Misericordia, in which you keep doing that. You do it so well. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi. We have with us in studio Sister Rosemary Connolly, who is celebrating her 40th year as Executive Director of Misericordia in Chicago, and her 60th year with the Sisters of Mercy, and also with her assistant, Lois Gates. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Catholic couples defy the odds and celebrate 50 years of marriage. The Jubilarians will tell us their secrets of success. Theology on Tap celebrates another successful season of the Summer Talk series. We'll take you to the wrap-up picnic, and we'll talk to Cardinal George about the heated debate over health care reform.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. This is Relevant Radio, AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg the Great Sackowitz.
No, you're very kind, Graz. No.
Well, that's what
we team up.
All the sisters who taught you who've been calling in have been saying that. Said, we knew he would reach greatness one day.
They're saying that he's still around?
They all remain Sisters of Mercy just because of what they
did. Praying for me.
They saw that. Yeah, all right. We got to make sure this guy.
We have to also mention we have with us behind the glass Chief Financial Officer Kevin Connolly.
Yay.
Who didn't want to come into the studio part because he's battling a cold. So you can just wave to everybody on
the
radio.
Yeah, the producer and engineer will be
Jim
out
Bright
tomorrow.
Are getting colds.
But, so we're talking with Sister Rosemary Connolly, who has been directing Misericordia Home for the past 40 years, and with Lois. What was that Italian name?
My father would be proud. Lois Catanella Gates.
Catanella Gates.
Catanella. Right, you sing it.
Yes,
sing it.
Catanella. 40 years is a long time to be doing something, and you keep talking about the inspiration that you get from the people that you serve. You know, I had a small taste of that once. I've told the story on the program that we do with the Cardinal. I was there doing a retreat for St. Scholastica High School. They just chose to use your facilities mm-hmm. for the retreat, and we decided to start with Mass. So we went to your regular daily Mass, and some of the residents from the home were there. It came time for the first reading, and one of the women who lived in the home, her arm was atrophied. It was twisted and, you know, set at her side. She went up to proclaim, and when she finished, instead of going back to her seat in the front where she had been, she came all the way to the back pew where I was sitting and sat right next to me. Well, then it came time for the gospel, and we all got up for the gospel, alleluia. And it was one of those foot stomping, hand clapping kind of alleluias. And everyone started clapping their hands, but this woman only had one hand. And without missing a beat, she reached over, she grabbed my arm, put it up in the air, and she started slapping my hand with her hand. And I thought, this woman is brilliant. She knows what Christianity is all about, you know, that we don't do it alone, we do it together, and it's the way we make a joyful noise unto the Lord is when the hand of one needy person meets the hand of another.
What a profound story that is.
It's
beautiful, Graz.
It was a powerful lesson for me that obviously I've never forgotten, never been able to forget. And you live that reality every day. Now, I'm sure it's not always inspiring. I'm sure most of the time it's just really, really hard work. But there you are with smiles on your faces. So it's hard work that obviously is
worthwhile
as well.
Maybe along those lines, and we only have like the last 5 minutes, is there is so much that Misericordia offers. I mean, the baked goods, for example, I've had... Graz, I've had so many of those chocolate chip cookies at Misericordia. It's incredible. But tell us for a moment about the bakery, about the cooking that goes on, the flower shop.
The restaurant.
The restaurant was staffed by the residents. So just say something about that. Was that your idea, Sister Rosemary?
Oh, I think it was a number of us that thought up the different projects. And everyone is so generous about sharing with us and you know, there aren't too many eagles walking around Misericordia. But those are, there's two purposes for those projects. First, employment for our adults. Employment outside is very difficult to get, especially in this present-day market. But we have created our own work opportunities. One you didn't mention, Father Greg, was our artists' work.
That's right.
You know, I say to them, you could lock me up for a year and I couldn't do what they're doing. It used to be cute. Now it's so impressive and beautiful and creative, and they can express themselves so lovingly. But the only way we can have all those projects is by fundraising. The government would never permit us to have the loving environment, the beautiful environment, the productive programs, and the almost 1,020 staff members. So we're blessed so much because of the fact that people believe in us enough to help us and get involved, and that's a tremendous gift.
Lois, give us a phone number and a web page. If someone listening this morning would like to make a donation to Misericordia, which I know thousands of people have throughout the year, but again, we live in hard economic times, and it's only the generosity of the people who are listening that keep Misericordia going. What is a phone number if they want to make a donation?
Phone number would be 773-973-6300.
Then number once again?
773-973-6300.
And the web?
And the web is www.misericordia.org.
Which is MISERICORDIA.
Correct.
Misericordia.
Heart of mercy.
Heart of mercy.
Heart of mercy. Uh-huh.
Well, maybe one quick thing before we close, because we have less than 2 minutes, and that is 60 years in religious life, Sister Rosemary. Has it been more than you ever thought, or what?
It's been more than I ever imagined. Mm-hmm. You know, I say I entered the Sisters of Mercy to lead a quiet life and service to God's people, and I think I have served God's people. But it isn't very quiet.
Talk about joyful noise.
Amen. If a family had a member that they felt belonged at Misericordia, how do they go about?
They call us, and we connect with them, and then we explore the possibility of the person coming to Misericordia.
And do you have a waiting list right now at Misericordia?
We do have a waiting list. Some areas are heavier than others. It depends upon the need. So we would like people to know that we're there, but we do have a waiting list.
Well, we need to bring today's program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Sister Rosemary Connolly, celebrating her 40th year as Executive Director of Misericordia in Chicago and her 60th year as a Sister of Mercy. Special thank you also to her assistant, Lois Gates, for joining us here on Catholic Community of Faith. Special thanks to co-host Graziana Marcheschi, our producer, Jim Dish, our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock, and we also have producer Diane Dunnigan, a special thank you, and also Kevin Connolly in the background. To our listeners, God bless. Again, Sister Rosemary, congratulations.
Thank you, Father.
And blessings upon all our listeners. Great day.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Father.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.